Scott Schrader, the head analyst for TrojanInsider.com, covers the USC football Trojans. Scott, you got John Schmelk and Lance Meadow here in New York City. How are you?
Great, thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, Scott. Thanks a lot for being with us today. And we'll start with the guy that most believe will be the top overall pick, but I know some Giant fans might be hoping he drops to number two to give the Giants a chance to pick him. And that's Sam Darnold. Watching his two-year career at USC, if you were to create two boxes, the good and the bad, what would you put in both boxes for Darnold?
Well, the good, you have a guy who's obviously extremely talented, a guy that can make all the throws, but on top of that, a guy who has it's exceptional mobility. That's just kind of the football side. He has all the talent, but there are some issues with ball security and some decision making. And Sam was more than willing to try and throw the ball into tight windows and stuff like that. So there's so many positives, but the negative part, we never really focused a whole lot about that. But the thing that stood out to me the most was the ball security issues. And Jordan Palmer was at USC Pro Day, and he's Darnold's quarterback's coach, and he was talking about how they spent the last couple of months working on that part of his game. And another part that seems to be a question with some NFL clubs is that Sam seems to be really quiet and reserved, whereas I love the way, again, the way Palmer put it with Darnold is that he's not looking for a date. He's looking to get married. So once you get to know somebody like Sam, he is actually maybe one of my favorite players that I've had an opportunity to cover in the 17 years I've been doing USC.
Well, Scott, as you mentioned, I mean, ball security has been a big topic of discussion with Darnold. And, I mean, I'm looking at the numbers, 13 interceptions, 11 fumbles during his sophomore season. You mentioned he likes to throw into tight windows. As far as the fumbles is concerned, I think of the 11, he lost 9. What stands out to you as to why he had problems in terms of holding on to the football?
You know, when it was happening, it was hard to figure out some of why some of it happened, because there were times where he wasn't even touched and the ball would come out of his hands. And again, I'll fall back onto Jordan Palmer, who is his quarterback's coach. It's that Sam tended to just hold on to the ball with one hand at all times. So they've worked on him trying to now, apparently the last couple of months he spent most days holding onto the ball with his left hand. So they believe that will solve that problem. I don't know. I'm not a quarterback's coach, but as far as the fumbles, it seemed like he wasn't holding onto the ball securely enough.
How about in terms of the interceptions and the decision-making? I realize, like you said, he anticipates, he throws into tight windows, things of that nature. How many of those interceptions were simply bad decisions, not seeing the defense? How many were him trying to make something happen when the team was down? How much context is there regarding the number of interceptions he threw last year?
I do believe that last year, as far as the pass protection that he got from the offensive line at times was questionable. So he definitely, there were times where he was definitely trying to make something happen. There were at least three or four interceptions that I recall that were almost as good as punts. You know, just figured that they might as well, they were maybe on the 45, 50 yard line, and he just figured, what the heck, just throw it up.
Right.
But there were also some issues, and one that stands out because it was the last one was in the Cotton Bowl, where USC was on their own 10-yard line, and Darnold threw a pick six, and they were trying to figure out, those are one of those throws where I don't know whether that was a wrong route, whether the communication with the receiver wasn't there.
Right.
But there were plenty of those type of interceptions as well.
Scott, there's a lot of comparisons, obviously, between all of these quarterbacks because there are so many that are projected to go in the first round. And considering you've been covering USC, I'm sure you have familiarity with Josh Rosen at UCLA, and he played against Darnold and USC this season. You know, from your perspective, you know, what stands out to you in terms of the difference between Darnold versus Rosen, considering both of those guys are expected to go within the top five?
Well, the biggest difference that stands out for me is Sam seems to be more mobile, and not that Josh Josh is also an exceptional athlete as well. I mean, Josh is one of those guys that can tuck the ball and run too. I think right now Rosen is, and people will throw out statistics and whatnot, say that they both completed the same number of passes. I don't know about all that stuff. I think right now that Josh Rosen is a better pure passer right now. And it just, Sam just seems like Sam can make plays happen that Josh Rosen can't.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think two other nitpicks I've heard, Scott, and we're joined by Scott Schrader, TrojanInsider.com. He's their head analyst. And I realize you're not a quarterback's coach, so if this is too technical, I apologize ahead of time. One is his quote-unquote long release, which I watch him. I don't see that as a big issue because I've seen him tighten it up a little bit. But the other one that's not mentioned quite as much, but I think might impact his accuracy sometimes a little bit, is some people think he might have the tendency to kind of step in the bucket a little bit and open his hips too much when he throws. Has that been a talk around his pro day from Jordan Palmer about some of the stuff they're trying to work with him on?
Jordan did spend quite a bit of time answering questions. And you know, I was trying to run around and
of course
try and catch everybody on pro day, and I didn't get to hear everything that Jordan says, but that is a topic that I have heard come up. And with me not also being a quarterback's coach, that's the kind of stuff I'm not really that in tune with. But there were a number of issues that were kind of striking and standing out that they wanted to work on during the couple of months after the season ended. And whether that was one of them or not, I don't know. I know that ball security was the first one. That said, Sam came out for that pro day, and you know, you're not lining up against anybody, but whatever he's worked on over the last couple of months, he came out looking as good as I've seen him since following him from San Clemente High School to USC. So I'm sure there are plenty of issues that he needs to work on. You know, he was only the starting quarterback at USC for a little more than a year and a half, and you know, I think Clay Helton put it best that the best is still yet, you know, to come for Sam Donald. There's still plenty for him to work on, and I'm sure there are for all quarterbacks.
Well, Scott, I think that's apparent, and also aside from the mechanical and technical issues of a quarterback, it's also about whether or not you can command the huddle and earn the respect of your teammates. What has his interaction been like with his teammates, and how much do you see the other guys feeding off of what he brings to the team?
You know, with some of the interceptions that happened last year and the fumbles, you know, there were times where we were questioning what was going on with Sam. And this is the biggest example for how much support he had with his teammates, how important he was to his teammates, is that they almost took offense anytime you questioned anything that was happening with Sam. And they knew how important he was to that football team and to them as men. And the support that he had, the way he was in the huddle, just exuded to everybody on the offense. And it even carried over to the defense. He was a guy that came in right away, and you know, you go from being well liked to just being admired by his teammates. So that part is probably, it could be one of his biggest strengths. That's probably all I probably can't add much more than that.
Yeah, absolutely, and I've heard the same thing from talking to people that were around the program. I want to swap over to Ronald Jones here for a second. And, you know, when the season's over, so much attention is paid to the quote-unquote post-season draft process, where it's everything except for actually what matters the most, the pads, what happens in the games that people get obsessed about. And Ronald Jones has been noticeably absent from that post-draft process because of a hamstring injury. He tried to run at the combine, couldn't really do it. He was limited at the USC Pro Day. Do you think that's bothering him, and is he really trying hard to get that hamstring good enough to show these scouts something in the pre-draft season, or do you think he's pretty comfortable sitting on what he did during the season and having that be enough for scouts to look at?
No, I don't think that he's comfortable with that. And in fact, I don't know what date or where they're going to be doing it, but wide receiver Deontay Burnett and Ronald Jones have another day planned to where they're going to work out for NFL scouts. So I know that he's not comfortable with that. He wants to work out in front of the guys to improve his draft status. And you know he's working with a guy, Lee Steinberg, who knows this draft process as good as anybody. Right. So yeah, so he plans on working out in front of the guys, but. To answer your question, he's definitely not comfortable with not working out in front of the guys.
So the thought is that the hamstring will heal quickly enough for him to do something in the next 2 or 3 weeks to get in front of these scouts.
Correct. That's what he told me.
Okay.
At USC Pro Day.
Talking with Scott Schrader, publisher, head analyst of TrojanInsider.com. Every time I read a write-up about Ronald Jones, Scott, all I hear about is, well, when he gets it to the NFL – there's no way that any NFL team can give him 20 carries. He can only get 10 to 12. I'm looking at his game logs. I mean, he had, I think
he carried more than Barkley did.
Yeah, 5 games of the season, Scott. He had, you know, 23 or more carries. So, you know, I'm a little taken back when I read this. If you could provide some insight, you know, why is there so much chatter about that he needs limitations on his workload?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Considering what he did this past season, I can understand if they were focused on the first couple of seasons because, you know, he was 10, 15 pounds lighter. He wasn't nearly as strong, and he was one of those guys that got tripped up easy. He was knocked down easy. His yards after carry was almost nothing. But when Dean LeMcCulloch came in as a running backs coach from Indiana, what his impact on Ronald Jones was just enormous, and so the weight gain, and the yards after carry, and the process and the technique that's needed in order to permit yourself to have that. So, you know, he had those amount of carries, and Dean LeMcCulloch doesn't like to wear out his running back, so. You know, he's not going to be a guy who's going to carry the load for an entire football game. But, yeah, as far as being limited to, you know, 10 carries a game or something like that, I'm not quite sure where that comes from. But I could see where they may be taking that from his previous two seasons.
Yeah, just to note the numbers, in 4 consecutive games in November and the first game in December last year, he had 27 carries, 25 carries, 28 carries, and 30 carries. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Scott, one other thing real quick on Jones, who I think, by the way, in my opinion, might be the second best running back prospect in this draft. He wasn't asked to catch the ball a lot at USC, but you watch him on film, and I watched probably 6 or 7 of his games last year. It looks like he runs a decent route, and when the ball is thrown to him, he does catch it. Is that something else that you think he's going to really want to show to scouts when he does his workout, that he's a better receiver than the USC offense allowed him to show?
Without question. That's another topic that we talked about at USC's Pro Day, and it's a topic that we've talked about through over the course of the season, because quite honestly, his first couple of years, Ronald Jones, he had a hard time catching anything.
Okay.
And so again, here I feel the impact of Dean LeMcCulloch, who's now the running backs coach for the Chiefs. His impact was enormous in all facets of his game. He became a much better blocker as well. His pass protection became almost a strength, whereas it was non-existent for a couple of years. So he just became a complete running back in 2017.
Scott, in terms of the other notable top prospects in this USC class, I mean, that brings us to the defensive side of the ball. Rasheem Green, who played interior on the defensive line at USC, they're projecting him to be a defensive end in the NFL. His sacks certainly jumped out over the last two seasons. Can he be versatile enough, do you think, to play inside and outside on the NFL level, or is he best suited to be a defensive end?
He's a guy, that's an interesting question, you know, coming from my perspective and looking at it, and that you see a guy who, 275 pounds, he's a guy who's just in amazing shape.
Right.
Physically. So adding weight won't be an issue. He kind of kept his weight purposely down during his time at UFC to keep his speed. I think he's going to be best suited for the outside as a defensive end. But in talking to Kenichi Udazi, the defensive line coach at UFC, he thinks he's exceptionally versatile and would have no problem playing either position.
The way I've heard Green described is that he's a very high-end athlete, but maybe some of his technique and things like that are raw and need a little polish. And if he had chosen to go back to school, if he added some of those technique things, he could have been a top 10 pick maybe in the 2019 draft. Do you think that's a fair description of his athletic ability as compared to, you know, his technique and things like that that might need some refining?
Yes. Yeah, that is. That's a topic that came up right after the Cotton Bowl. In fact, I asked Kenichi Udazi about that, and he thought that it would be very beneficial for Rasheem to come back for his senior year. Not that he's making a bad support decision by entering the NFL draft, but he thought he might be able to help himself in next year's draft. But yes, that was definitely a topic.
Another defensive player that is notable in terms of the USC class, in terms of linebacker slash edge guy, Uchenna Nwosu. He hasn't been playing football for a very long time, Scott. Sort of raw, similar maybe to, you know, Green, who we were just talking about. What is the upside from Nwosu at the next level?
Gosh. Uchenna is a guy, as far as going to the next level, just... whenever talking about him, I always kind of start how things came from high school. He was a guy that was under 200 pounds, undersized. He's always been that undersized guy, not strong enough. He's not going to be big enough.
Wow.
And then he got big enough. he went from a guy, and the way I put it to him, spring practice a couple of years ago, he went from a guy that I forgot was on the football team to a guy that looked like he was the best player on the football team. And going into this season, for me on defense, you can take all the guys that USC has on defense. Uchenna Nwosu was their best player. So he's a guy, he's explosive. He's got an enormous chip on his shoulder. His work ethic is incredible. So as far as going to the next level, at the very least, he could become one of the best pass rushers, in my opinion.
So it seems to me, for a Giants defense that runs a 3-4 and they're looking for these athletic stand-up rushers that can maybe put their hand in the dirt in passing situations, he seems like the type of athlete in terms of build and ability that would fit into that type of scheme, right?
Absolutely. I mean, perfect. I mean, this guy, I'm telling you, somewhere down the road, this guy, we're going to be talking about Uchenna Nwosu in the NFL. There's absolutely no question about it. He's just such an impressive football player. And even his ability to get in the backfield. One of the biggest plays for USC this football season was Stanford had 4th-and-1 at the goal line at the end of the game, and Nwosu got in the backfield and got the running back for a loss of a couple yards, and then USC went down and scored the game-winning touchdown. So that's the kind of stuff he does. He makes big plays, and I always go back to that chip that he has on his shoulder. He's constantly being doubted. And that fuels him.
We're talking with Scott Schrader, publisher, head analyst of TrojanInsider.com. The other thing I noticed about him from a statistical standpoint, Scott, 19 passes defensed in the last two seasons combined. You know, you talked about his upside at getting to the quarterback into the backfield. How is he in terms of dropping back in coverage? Because if he could defend passes, I would assume that maybe they were comfortable in terms of allowing him to get back into the field to maybe go after wide receivers and tight ends.
Yeah, well, the one thing that you find in the Pac-12 is that's almost a necessary part of playing defense is having the instincts and the awareness to be able to be in position to knock down those passes, and that's what he has, and his ability to drop back in coverage. To me, I don't know how good he was, but sometimes that means he was probably pretty good. You know, he didn't notice it being an issue ever.
Did most of those deflections happen near the line of scrimmage, or was he dropping and, like, carrying tight ends down the seam as well?
Most of it happened at the line of scrimmage.
Got it. Scott, great stuff. We really appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us and giving us the time. We know the other wide receiver and Ronald Jones will have their workout day later on in the spring, and we look forward to seeing it. Thanks for the insight today. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you down the road, all right?
Thanks a lot, Scott.
All right, thanks, guys.